Thank you very much. That brings us to Chris Stevens.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Secretary of State, I want to ask you about food poverty. So food banks have reported a rising need for emergency food parcels, especially for children. The Trussell Trust reported last May on a 33% increase in supply from the previous year, and volumes are still above pre-pandemic levels. So my first question to you, Secretary of State, is the Department committed 18 months ago to placing in the Commons Library a copy of its evidence-based systemic review on food bank use. So can I ask, we've waited patiently for 18 months where that report is.
And I'll have to go back and check. I know there's something that we were starting to do, but stopped because of COVID. So I'll have to go back, if the clerk can refer me to whatever specific issue you're referring to.
Okay. So, well, we look forward to that report because many of us...
I mean, within government, DEFRA leads on food poverty, food insecurity. That's why they were responding to the debate yesterday. Partly because of their strong relationship, not necessarily just with food producers, but the food retailers and similar. So there's that aspect.
What policy interventions have you considered, Secretary of State, to alleviate food poverty?
Well, for the first time ever, we started collecting in our Family Resources Survey questions on food insecurity to get that picture. That will continue. I mean, we apply the general benefits process, and as I say, DEFRA leads on food poverty within government.
Well, isn't the reasons for food poverty perhaps some of the policies instigated by the Department of Work and Pensions? Like, for example, just to pick one example, the 5-week wait for the first payment of Universal Credit. Has there been any analysis done as to that policy and the 5-week wait and food poverty?
Well, you'll be aware that the 5-week payment after 5 weeks after your first claim is recognised as the calculation that then happens, recognising universal credit is a dynamic benefit, but of course nobody needs to wait for actual financial support. They can apply for an advance and they can then spread their annual support from universal credit either over 13 payments over a year, or as has been recently extended, to 25 payments over 2 years. So it's a phasing issue.
Okay, so in 2018, before the recent cost pressures, the Food Foundation said that the poorest tenth of households in England would have to spend 74% of their disposable income if they were to follow government guidelines for a healthy diet. So should households who cannot increase their disposable income simply choose a cheaper and less healthy diet, Secretary of State?
I don't think that's the case, but I'd say DEFRA leads on food poverty, food policy overall, and food insecurity.
The wealthiest decile in society spends only 6%, not 74% of its disposable income on food. So how does the government plan to borrow its phrase, level up that imbalance?
Well, I think you're talking about if somebody has an income of, through support, of say £15,000, don't be surprised if they spend considerably more of that on those sorts of things like food or energy as a proportion of their income compared to say somebody who earns £100,000. So I think it's, I don't really understand what the purpose of what you expect to get a response to your question, that people who earn a lot more may not spend quite as much of their income on food.
Well, that's right. So, but the poorest pay 74% of their income on food. And basically the question, as Secretary of State, is should those who have less disposable income simply choose a less healthy diet? Is that the government's expectation?
I've already said no, and I've already referred to you to DEFRA, who lead on food poverty, food insecurity and food strategy overall.
So in tackling food poverty then, describe to me, Secretary of State, the joined up government policies on health, social security, and indeed DEFRA.
And what, sorry?
DEFRA.
Okay. Well, this is where.
DEFRA, so what's the links between the government departments, health, social security, and food policy?
Well, we've had some of those discussions in the interministerial group. My job is to try and help people where they can increase their income. That's why we set about a number of activities of trying to help more people into work and I can't quite remember if it was announced in spending review or budget. You know, from April this coming, people who do receive universal credit and working above a certain number of hours, more of them will, the door will be wide open for people to come into the job centre, get support from work coaches, in order to try and make progression in work, or some of the other help that we can try and help, whether that's about signposting to skills, aspects of thinking about training and progressing in work. So there's a number of initiatives where our focus on the front line is largely about how we can help people build their income.
So in the inter-ministerial group, which we've heard about, that they certainly discuss things. Have they considered further expanding entitlement to free school meals for universal credit claimants?
Is that we didn't discuss free school meals. It's very specifically a DfE policy.
So that's free school meals. So my final question to you, Secretary of State, then, is it's linked to my first question. Do you commit to publish any reports the department has on food bank use or on food aid and make them available to the committee?
Well, as I said to you earlier, if the clerk could write to me with what you referred to earlier, then I will respond to that.
Thank you. Thank you
very much. Neil Coyle.
Thanks.